I don't know, my microphone was going in and out, so we'll see what happens here. Something's not a lot like light there. I'll stand for the reading of the word today. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith and not by sight. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Last week we started talking about atheism. Today's message is going to be really heavy. What I mean is you're going to have to clear the cobwebs out of your heart, out of your mind and your heart in order to understand. Because it's going to be a little bit scientific. It's going to probably be more heavier than I've ever taught before. So you're going to have to listen really close. So tell the person next to you, clean the cobwebs out of your brain. Now, you didn't dare tell them, did you? You can whisper it to them. We're going to be talking about atheism, fantasy, and faith. I got a joke for you, though. You ready for it? What do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with an atheist? You don't know. Someone who knocks at your door for no reason. That was about a two. First of all, faith is a fact, not a fantasy. You know the saying, seeing is believing? That's not the way God perceives things at all. It's the opposite with God. Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing because we serve an all-powerful, self-sufficient God who is invisible. And He's the one who formed everything from invisible. And our finite minds cannot understand that. And atheists, on the most part, as I mentioned last week, most atheists that are debating and writing books, it's because they had a bad experience and they prayed to God and God let them down, so they're wounded. And they're more angry at God than anything else, the majority of atheists. The scripture gives us the definition of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, and here it is. Faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives assurance about things we cannot see. That's the definition. Let me give it to you again. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives assurance about things we cannot see. So that would apply for someone who has cancer and they all of a sudden they have this confidence and this faith and God heals them miraculously. Another thing it says there in Hebrews right after that, it says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that what is seen around us right now, everything we see, hills, trees, water, everything that was seen was not made out of what was visible. So our first thing that we want to talk about today is we're establishing our faith in a real God is this. We live by faith, not by sight. We do that every day. Matter of fact, I don't think any of you were thinking about when you came into the church and you walked up those stairs, you didn't try to figure out, is this going to collapse on me? By faith, you walked up the stairs. You weren't thinking about what was underneath them, how they were constructed. Maybe a construction guy like Dallas was thinking, these stairs are going to clap one of these days when I go up them. Maybe he knows more than you, but we don't really think about that. So by faith, we walked up the stairs today. I watched many of you who sat down today. You didn't look at your seat and go and test it to see if it would hold your weight. By faith, you sat down. Matter of fact, some of you just plopped yourself down. Oh, I used to get yelled at all the time by my mother. I guess she now yells at me, my wife. You're going to ruin the furniture. But I have total faith that thing's going to hold me. I'm a pretty big guy. toddlers. Oh, isn't it neat when they first discover how to walk? And they're like tipping all over the place. They look like they're drunk. And then they finally, they get to the point where they want to, they can walk with, so they want to try something new, so they're going to hop. And by faith, they do their first hop. I'm not going to hop because I don't want to break a knee today. So they hop up in the air, and by faith, they believe that they're going to land and get on their feet. Most of the time, they do. Sometimes they land on their face. But they do not worry about, and none of us worry about the fact that when they hop, that they're just going to keep going up, and we'll never see them again. Right? By faith, we know that they're going to come back down. By faith, we believe in gravity. Though we don't understand it, though we don't think about it scientifically, by faith, we let that little one hop. And they don't just float off into Never Never Land. Going to bed at night. Most of us don't worry if we're going to wake up in the morning. By faith, we fall asleep when it's dark. And by faith, we believe when we wake up, it's going to be a new day that we've never seen before, and it's going to be light. Except for on Sundays. For like the last 12 Sundays, it snowed, right? By faith, we take our next breath. I don't think about how my respiratory system is working right now as I'm breathing and talking to you. By faith, I just keep breathing. By faith, my heart just keeps beating. My next heartbeat is going to beat, and I don't think about all the cardiovascular things that are going on in my heart. So we live by faith every day. And so why can't we live by faith in a God who created all things? Jesus has said in Colossians that he is the creator of the universe, and in him all things hold together. Thank God that he invented gravity, right? The second thing we're going to look at, and I promised you this last week, and this is where it starts to get heavy, so you got to stay awake, drink some caffeine if you can, and follow me. If God created everything, who created God? That's what atheists will throw at us. Well, we just answer this way. God was acting before time when he created the universe. You see, there are several verses that we can look at that talk about that. In the beginning, there was a beginning. You know, Jesus said that he is the beginning and the end. Jesus said, I am the first and I am the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, there was a beginning. And so in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But listen to these New Testament scriptures that talk about the beginning of time. That God was before time. God created time. Listen to this one that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. We were destined for his glory. He figured that all out before time began. Here's one in 2 Timothy 1:9. It says, the grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Here's another one, Titus 1:2. The hope of eternal life which God promised before the beginning of time. So before anything was even created, before time was created, God already had given us an eternal hope. He'd already given us grace in Jesus Christ. Wow. That sort of blows my mind. Now, the idea that God created time along with the physical universe is not some wacky new modern Christian interpretation of the Bible. Matter of fact, Justin Martyr, a second century Christian, in his oratory address to the Greeks, said that Plato got the idea that time was created along with the universe from Moses. So even our secular philosophers believe the word of God, and time was created, and got the idea from Moses. This is what Plato wrote. He said, time was created along with the heavens in order that coming into being together, they might also together be dissolved. So Plato believed in a beginning and he believed in an end. And we know that we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, according to the scripture, that God made time and there will be an end of time Well, time will be no more, and we will move into eternity. Now, that's just, that, you know, science just can't do a whole lot with that. But we're going to get into more of that as we go along. So what does science say about time? Well, you'll remember we talked a little bit about Stephen Hawking, who just passed away a little while ago. He's a great atheist, and he was a theological scientist. Notice I say theological, not theological, theoretical. So everything that he puts out there that he says is science was really just a theory. Along with him and George Ellis and Roger Penrose, they extended the equations for general relativity to include space and time. The results showed that time has a beginning. Now that blew the atheists away, because before that they didn't believe that. Time has a beginning. And we know that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So now they have to admit that that's possible, so they say there was a Big Bang. Well, how did that happen? Well, we're not exactly sure. It's not scientific at all. So we call it creation when time began. In fact, if you examine university websites, you'll find that many professors make such a claim that the universe had a beginning and that this beginning marked the beginning of time. Their assertions support the biblical claim that time began at the creation of the universe. The third thing we're going to talk about is God exists in timeless eternity. This blows me away. We can't understand this with our little finite minds. God exists outside of time. Since we live in a universe of cause and effect, we naturally assume that this is the only way in which any kind of existence can function. But that premise is false. Without the dimension of time, this is very important, without the dimension of time, there is no cause and effect. Cause and effect only happens in time. Outside of time, there's no cause and effect. Now, all we know is cause and effect. We know that if we run into that railing there with our knee, that we're going to bruise our knee. There's a cause and effect. But outside of time, there's no cause and effect. And all things that could exist in such a realm would have no need of being caused, but would have always existed. Therefore, God has no need of being created, but in fact, created the time dimension of our universe specifically for a reason, so that cause and effect would exist. That's why he created time. He did that so that cause and effect would exist for us. And since God created time, cause and effect would never apply to his existence. Lost some of you right there. I told you you got to clear your cobwebs out of your brain. Let me give you an example of some cause and effect. When time began, God created Adam, right? Adam and Eve came along. Adam and Eve decided to disobey God. And they ate of the fruit that they were not supposed to eat of. And a lot of people say the apple. We don't know if it's an apple, it could have been a pomegranate. We don't know what it was. They ate of that, the effect, decay and death. Now we have death all around us and decay. My body's decaying. I look in the mirror sometimes and I can't believe that I look like I look. And I still think I look like that buff Zach right there, you know? But then I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm decaying. This is a cause and effect. And that only could happen in time. Outside of time, that wouldn't happen. God caused that so that there would be cause and effect. Here's another one. Your lawn gets dry and then it turns brown. Well, what's the cause? Well, lack of rain. The effect? Your grass dies. If you want to change that effect, then the cause is rain and water, and they'll make your grass turn green, and the effect will be it comes back alive. So God created time so that there would be cause and effect. Number four, God exists in multiple dimensions of time. In other words, God is a time traveler. Isn't that awesome? Jesus could go anywhere in time. That's why he showed up in the Old Testament at times. People thought he was an archangel. He'd go anywhere in time, and he'd go anywhere outside of time because he created time. Woo! Now, the reason I'm telling you all this is because atheists, up until this point, they believed that there was no such thing as the beginning of time. And now, when they did all the equations, like Sheldon on Big Bang Theory, they found out there is a beginning to time. Well, that blew them all away. So if there's a beginning of time, then there probably is going to be an ending of time. And so, therefore, they cannot say that because there's eternity before, if everything's eternal, then there's no God. Now they know there was a beginning, so now there's a possibility that there's a God. And Sheldon wouldn't like that very much, would he? For those of you who watch Big Bang, I like Big Bang Theory. I get a kick out of it. It's funny. Well, anyways, I'm going to have some volunteers in just a moment to help me with this so that we can understand it, because it's sort of heavy. Things that exist in one dimension of time are restricted to time's arrow and are confined to cause and effect. Okay, I need a... Bob, why don't you come up here, because you're retired now and you need to do something. All right, Bob. And Bob, you can come over here, up here. Look at that. His knees are as spry as can be. You just stand there and hold that arrow up. Okay? Larry, don't laugh at him. Larry, will you help me? I don't want to, but I will. Okay, Larry. I did this wrong. Oh, this way. Okay. Oh! Bob left. Thank you, Bob. Only you could say that to David. Okay, time. Here's the beginning. This is what we're talking about. Time began. Time is going to end. Jesus said, I am the beginning. I am the end. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the first. I'm the last. He created time and everything in it. Out of invisible stuff. Now here comes the good part. Kobe, will you come up here? Just get up here. Okay. Just stand over there as far as you can. I'll be too far out, so. All right. And, come on, Amberlynn, come on up here. Pretend that you're going to be on a game show someday, like, what is that, Wheel of Fortune? Okay, you hold that there. This is time. Notice the arrows on the outside. That's where God exists. God exists forever and ever. Our minds can't comprehend that. There's no beginning and there's no end. So God can step into time. And I'm just going to be an example of Jesus. Jesus wasn't as big as me, I don't think. Jesus can step into time anywhere. He can step in and out of time anytime he wants to. That's why he can see what's in the future, because he's already here. That's because he knows everything in the past, because he always was. That's what it says in John. Wow. Now that just blows atheists away because they believe something differently. This is what they believe. They believe in what's called a multiverse. And what they say is that the universe is just spewing out other universes. They have no scientific proof, so it's metaphysical. And these multiverses, they just sprout out of nowhere, they just come. And they exist, and they take on their own form and shape. And we're just one of many universes right here. So they have no scientific equation, no scientific background. So everything that they're telling you that there is no God is based on a false God, which you would call multiverse. Right? So they have no proof, nothing to stand on, so everything that they're giving to us is faith. Their faith in what they've made up a God called a multiverse that just gives birth to new universes over and over for no reason. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. Thank you. Give them a hand for being here. Wow. Number five. Let's look at that for a moment. The universe cannot be eternal. If it is, then atheism is metaphysical and not scientific. Since there's no evidence supporting this idea of a multiverse, it's really just a substitute God for the atheist, like I said before. And since this God is non-intelligent, by definition, this multiverse theory, it requires a complex hypothesis which would be ruled out if you use, and only scientists know this, I didn't know this, Occam's razor, which states that one should use the simplest logical explanation for any phenomenon. In other words, purposeful, intelligent design of the universe is what makes more sense than what an atheist believes. Now let's look at the last one. God has no need to be created, since he exists outside of time and exists within multiple dimensions of time. The only possible escape for the atheist is the invention of a kind of super universe that I said to you earlier, which is a multiverse, which can never be confirmed experimentally, which makes it metaphysical, not scientific. In other words, a timeless God steps into time to have a relationship and a friendship with you and me. Doesn't that just blow you away? You know, as we were going through a rough time all a little while ago, you know, in the hospital and everything, got the news of what Bobby had and everything, I'll admit I was a little bit down. And then seeing her not getting well and everything for quite a while. And then I just realized something, that every morning I can get up and I can talk to the creator of the universe. What could be better than that? I can get up every day and worship the creator of the whole universe, personally, one-on-one. That's awesome. What does an atheist have? Like one of my cousins, I'm just going to go 6 foot under. And that's it, I'm just going to decay. We have a hope, folks. We have a hope in Jesus Christ, the eternal one, who is and was and will always be the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. Praise God. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, we just give you our thanks and our praise for being our creator and being real and being there for us at any time and looking down at each and every one of us and seeing all of our gifts and seeing all of our weaknesses and seeing all of our strengths and yet still loving us no matter who we are or what we've done. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that today we can reign eternal with you. That, Lord, that we don't have to believe in something that's not real. We believe in the real thing, the thing that has always existed. You, the self-existent one, we praise you and we give you honor and we give you glory now in the wonderful and powerful name, the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.